Cornucopia Radio presents.
Welcome to A Little Bit Racy, the improvisation comedy panel show that you just couldn't make up. I'm your host, James Cottle, and the writers really wanted me to say I've been a bad little girl. In the show, panelists race against a time limit of just 3 minutes to improvise their way to a destination. They begin from different starting points and use an assortment of randomly assigned objects, companions, and modes of transport, but they must keep all of them with them when they travel. They also have to overcome another panelist who will improvise obstacles to try and stop them. Two of the four panelists think that the previous six were 72% better than the subsequent 1.5. Let's see if they were right. Please welcome Johnny Sire, Joe Darcy, Jenny Collier, and Tom Harrison. So let's see what the challenge is in round one. Eureka! A bunch of PhD hoarding virgins, or scientists, have put their boffin noggins together and invented an all-new super-light metal made of hydrogen, or some gobbledygook. Apparently, this constitutes a reason to celebrate. So, there will be a ceremonial unveiling. But gasp! The ceremonial ribbon-cutting scissors, made of the aforementioned hydrogen metal, have been dropped and are now floating up towards the ceremonial blimp. Full of trapped ceremonial orphans on a ceremonial field trip. I don't know who organises these things either. Get to Lincoln, Nebraska and save the day. So, attempting the challenge first will be Johnny. Your object tonight is a baseball cap that improves your baseball skills. Your companion is a talking bust of George Washington. Your mode of transport is a seesaw on wheels. And your starting point is with a chef in a field in Sheffield, UK. Best of luck to you, Johnny, and best of luck to you, Joe, throwing whatever obstacles you can in his way. Johnny, your time starts now.
Okay, so I'm in Sheffield with a chef. We are scouting sheep for dinner and slaughter. It's going very well. We've mostly got all the sheep we need and a couple of walkers on the way as well. So we are going to go to the... south of England.
Yep,
south of England. And I have put on my trusty baseball cap. I have my George Washington bust. And I have, what's my third object?
Your seesaw on wheels.
My seesaw on wheels, that's how I'm going to get there. So we're going all the way down to the coast. We can obviously skip across the channel in a seesaw, because it just floats right across.
Can I just ask you, how do you expect the inanimate bust to exhibit enough force, put enough force on the other side of the seesaw to propel it?
That's okay, because all I do is walk along the seesaw left and right and it starts going forward. I'm doing it all myself.
Isn't forward a different direction depending on which side you're on, and thereby you just stay in one place?
I would hope the seesaw is going towards Poland, as that is my next destination.
Physics in motion.
So I arrive in Poland and I keep going and going and going, and eventually I get to Austria.
Yeah,
when it's surrounded by the cast of The Sound of Music, who are still there for some reason. And you know, and they say, "Oh, that's a nice bust, isn't it?" I say, "Yeah, it's great. It's George Washington. You ever seen him?" They say, "No, we're too busy singing." So I'm going across Austria on my seesaw-based mode of transportation. It's going quite well. I'm enjoying myself. And eventually I get to Russia, because I think, well, that's a nice big place, and it'll take me all the way...
quite quickly.
Yeah, yes. Quite quickly.
I see your plan here.
Yeah. So I am in Russia, and, you know, they're all quite friendly.
You say that, but what you'll find is outside of the major cities, a lot of it's, you know, it's very poor and it's very cold, and that lovely wooden seesaw looks awful nice for kindling. You're in trouble.
I say
it's
that
gone.
Looks nice,
does
but
anymore.
It's not for sale.
Too late.
I'm so sorry. It's not for sale. You can have one of the orphans I brought from The Sound of Music. And
also kindling.
Use them instead. So I am continuing my way through Russia, you know, waving left and right.
It's wearing a very trendy baseball cap.
Yeah, wearing my very trendy baseball cap, which I'm sure will come into use.
Maybe.
Eventually. You know, it's very difficult to find Russians that enjoy baseballs, and therefore my skills that the cap will bring. We're going thing. I'm all the way across Russia because, you know, the speed of this seesaw mobile. I mean, I'm getting a bit tired, I'll be honest.
1 minute left.
But I'm going for it anyway. across Russia, I end up in Alaska. Now, this is where my baseball cap really comes into fruition.
Yes, indeed.
Because there's wolves attacking us, of course.
Yeah,
you know, in Alaska. And I use my baseball skills to throw balls at them, which they chase, sliding down, creating a very smooth surface all the way across Alaska, which takes me to Canada.
To be honest, it sounds like you're making this up on the spot, mate. Where did you get these balls from?
They're snowballs.
Yeah, that works.
As you were.
So I'm in Canada, which is very close to the USA.
Yes, indeed.
So I go to the USA. across the border, I don't have my passport with me, but since
I have a
bus
of George Washington,
which is very, very popular, and he's like, yeah, come on in, we like George. You know, why not? Make my way through Montana, South Dakota, eventually get to Nebraska.
10 seconds left.
Look up at the blimp, and I say, I've got a lot of experience with orphans, because I've been in Austria with them, with the Sound of Music people,
yep.
And I will save you, I promise.
Oh, very nice. Johnny Sawyer. Just, again, talking about doing the thing but not actually doing it. That's what we love on this game, damn though, it. Isn't it? So now attempting the challenge will be Joe. Your object tonight is a drum that makes people march in formation. Your companion is Cher. Your mode of transport is a mud hut on skis. And your starting point is playing Russian roulette with increasingly fewer friends in Kiev, Ukraine. So, best of luck to you trying to get to Lincoln, Nebraska. Your time starts now.
I don't think I need luck, because if I'm losing friends, yeah, I'm losing friends, but I'm also winning.
Yeah, very much.
It does, however, mean that getting to Lincoln, Nebraska is going to be a bit tricky, because I was going to use them to help me pull along the skis. Turns out they're dead.
They're all dead.
Yeah. Yeah, don't work out.
Such so, is the game.
Yeah. No. I found that out anyway. So, so I think, right, it's time to go. We've got a blimp to deal with. Cher's there, of course she is. Yep. And I've got... she wants out. These people, they don't understand it. First of all, she can't get around in a skimpy spandex anymore. The temperatures are too low. She's as keen as I am to get a wriggle on.
Cher has unfortunately not had any Botox in a while, so she starts using the mud from your hut to fill in her face.
Okay.
And the hut is getting smaller.
It's getting smaller, but yeah. I'm not averse to that, because it just makes it easier to pull along and to use as a hut. Cher, she's had enough now.
Damn.
She's had enough now. She feels better. And do you know what that extra self-confidence has done to her, Johnny? Thanks ever so much for bringing this into the equation. She's ready to make a grand re-entrance, so this is what we're going to do. We start up. Luckily, as you say, I've got a mud hut. It's on skis. What's in Russia? Snow. That's where we'll go. We'll go across that way. Eastwards, if you will. Right. Now, what's happened during this time is that we've got a drum. You won't believe it, but it makes everybody march in formation.
I don't believe that's incredible.
Yeah. And Cher, she loves a bit of banging. So she... So everybody, got all the villages and everything, people are marching towards. This is giving us power. What do people love in America? Which is where we're heading, by the way. They love a bit of a marching band, and they love Cher.
Unfortunately, they won't go anywhere, because now Cher has seen a crowd and she just starts singing.
Yeah, at the start of it. And she's leading them all on, because that's what she does. She's a leader, as you say. So...
Damn it.
Walking on. Not only is this like clearing the tracks for us to get there more effectively, but also... What do they love in Nebraska? They love a bit of a marching band. And then also, now you've got Cher getting formation. She's doing Beyonce, but she's doing it with a vocoder, modern.
Getting formation.
Very nice.
That's how vocoders go. So, no problem. Straight through Canada. You're welcome.
One minute left.
We're getting there. The mud. You can have the mud, mate. Cher can have half of it and you can have the rest, because we don't need that anymore. I'm getting carried on people's backs.
You kind of need to keep it with you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so... But I don't need it, is the point, James. I'll take it with me, but it's no longer essential, because we're carrying that on the backs of all the troops. We get to Nebraska. All right, do you know what? This has been smashing. Do you want a ski, mate? Because I've got a blimp to deal with, and then I do it.
The drums have got too loud, and it's caused an avalanche. Cher has been crushed.
Where is that avalanche happening, please? Can I ask you which mountain range? Because we passed it.
The biggest one in the area.
coming at you.
This is just, okay, so we get the drum and it's got, start marching it towards the avalanche and just basically use them as, you know, death boulders. And they soak up all the, you know, the rubbish and everything. Me and Cher, we don't care. We've got skis and a modot. So we're on our way.
10 seconds left.
And we make it there. We have a quick prayer. I don't believe in that stuff, but they're American, aren't they? Sorry about the dead people in the avalanche. Here's Cher, sing Amazing Grace. Let me sort out your blimp. Bollocks.
Hey! Good Aussie. Wonderful stuff from our first pair there in round one. But now it's time for our second pair. And attempting the challenge first will be Jenny. Your object tonight is a karaoke machine with built-in auto-tune. Your companion is a nosy neighbour. Your mode of transport is an abundance of balloons. And your starting point is trapped in a house of mirrors in Beijing, China. So, best of luck to you trying to get to Lincoln, Nebraska. Your time starts now.
Thank you. So, I was in the Hall of Mirrors because it creates like a hallucinogenic sort of feeling, and drugs are illegal, guys.
Wait, they are? I need to go quickly flush something down the toilet. I'll be right back.
Enchanting. It took a while to get out of the Hall of Mirrors because everything that I try and open, it's just me. I'm there. Just headbutted myself quite a few times. And then got out and I'm in Beijing and my companion, nosy neighbour, just dispenses gossip to everyone around. It's like, so everyone's very accommodating. We make our way to the east coast of China, east coast of China.
The problem is your nosy neighbour is so nosy that he actually wants to nose into everyone's business. So, like, he just sees salarymen on their way to work and he's just like, where are you going? What are you working on? Have you painted your fence recently? Have you trimmed your lawn?
Yeah, he does do that, but it's all right. I just get a balloon in the end and just, like, put it in his mouth. And that then he can't do it anymore. And then so we go to, travel by boat, because there is a boat that you can pay for. Are you allowed to pay for boats?
What currency will you use?
Yen?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's a boat to Japan then, because you're using
yen. Yeah,
we've got
a boat to Japan. Yeah, cool. I don't know if you know this, I don't want to make a generalisation, but they dig karaoke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, massively. I've always wanted to give it a go when you get like the sky going past and you're singing in front of the green screen.
And the karaoke that I happen to have has got auto-tune. So anything you sing, you
I'm
sing
sure
like,
that's
beautiful.
Fire as F, like, as they say. I wanted to swear, but I didn't.
So it's the greatest. And so we sing things like American Pie, because that's 10 minutes long.
Good song.
Optimum air stage time.
You do have to get there quite quickly, though.
But we're having so much fun, but then we stop.
Also,
but
the other problem is someone has performed a T-Pain song, but through your auto-tune, so it's double auto-tune, and it's causing, like, some kind of rift in, not the space-time continuum, but the ground, an earthquake, I think it's called.
Then we give the nosy neighbour a microphone and his gossip just overpowers everything.
And then, 1 minute left.
Okay, and then we get the abundance, because I've got an abundance of balloons. Oh, yes, I do. And so we use that as like a hot air balloon, cling onto it and go across the ocean, across the Pacific Ocean, to be precise, to be Pacific. And then we get to, thank you. And then we get to the US of A.
A balloon pops and you don't fall out the sky. I'm not cruel, but it does. It really, really makes you jump.
Yeah. Luckily, I'm hard as nails.
Really, jump scares get me every time, so you got me beat on that one.
Luckily, it is in abundance. So one balloon doesn't really make much odds. And so we go through America, just doing a bit of karaoke. We meet a couple of Americans. And then we get to, we go across the Great Barrier Reef, the Grand Canyon.
10 seconds left.
On our balloons, and then we go to Lincoln, Nebraska. And I think we get nearly there. We get there.
Yeah, sure. Hey. Yeah, confirmed. Lovely stuff there. But now attempting the challenge will be Tom. Your object tonight is a hot water bottle full of Vindaloo.
Nice.
Your companion is a future version of yourself from the Machine War.
Probably the best companion I've ever had on the show.
Your mode of transport is a bird with man flu. And your starting point is haphazardly delivering a baby in a crowded yoga class in Harare, Zimbabwe. Best of luck to you, Tom. Tried to get to Lincoln, Nebraska. And best of luck to you, Jenny. Tried to stop him. Tom, your time starts now.
Okay, so I deliver the baby, taking extra care. A, because it's delivering a baby. And B, because the future me from the machine war knows that he'll grow up, or no, she'll grow up, to be one of his greatest generals. So he cuts through the umbilical cord with a chainsaw arm, because awesome. And we saddle up the bird, which is a big bird. Is it big? Bird? Well, may never know. Who has an ambulance? And we're on our way, heading up to Congo, where they do not drink Mbongo. I don't even know if you can get it here anymore.
There was an obstacle, but you've actually overcome it because you're in Mbongo.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
In the Congo, so it's fine. No, so don't stop him. Keep going.
I continue on to the Central African Republic, which is my country that has the most bestest name ever, because it's a republic in Central Africa and they just called it that. It's the meatloaf of countries.
So they don't have Mbongo there, but they do have a lot of meatloaf, which you end up eating so much of that you kind of get a bit waylaid. And
I mean, we'll spend some time eating some nice Central African meatloaf, which I don't know if it's real, but I'm big into fusion food, so I'm down with it. And then we hop along to Senegal, a little bit full. Big Bird is slightly weighed down, but the Big Bird, not Big Bird, haven't established that. We take off into the skies, and you know, he's wheezing, he's looking a bit ill, but it is man flu, so really it's mostly psychosomatic. So I feed him some Vindaloo to pep him up a little bit.
But the Vindaloo gives him terrible
diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, I figured that was the route we were going down. Well, thankfully I'm over the sea, so you know, there's a lot of guano, but it's generally fairly mess-free.
But a helicopter is flying underneath you, and then it goes on the windscreen, and the helicopter's real mad, and also a bit, what are you going to do?
The helicopter crashes, and I'm racked with guilt, but future me assures me that no helicopters survived the machine war. So, really, really, it's a moot point. We land in Cuba, where...
1 minute left.
Oh, my God. Okay, we land in Miami, where I take off we stop for a bit of Vindaloo. Me and me mum and me dad and me gran have a bucket of Vindaloo. It's not actually true. My nan was fairly racially prejudiced and probably wouldn't have eaten curry. Either way... We soar through the skies, happy as a cloud, although future me is bumming me out a little bit about constantly going on about mankind's imminent destruction and the robots crushing piles of skulls, and I'm like, such a downer, dude. We swoop into somewhere else in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska.
But then they stop you in customs because they're like, hang on a minute, this bird has clearly got flu.
I'm also with a guy with PTSD and a chainsaw for an arm who looks exactly like me, but with an eye patch. I also, he had an eye patch, by the way. That's another thing. So this is bad. We just fight our way out. I've got to use it for something. And we go into Lincoln, Nebraska, and we head into Omaha, Nebraska, and future me kicks away the scissors from hitting the blimp, unless James contradicts that in the next round, in which case, sorry.
No, that's right, Tom Harrison. Fantastic stuff from both pairs there in round one, but now it's time to find out who is moving on to round two, and those two people are... Joe and Tom! Congratulations! In this round, the winning panelists must improvise their way to a whole new destination. They may use their object companion and mode of transport again, but this time they are allowed to dispose of them if they wish. However, the defeated panelists will try and stop them once again, this time using their own object companion and mode of transport to improvise obstacles, in order to prevent them from becoming the a little bit racy Metallic Madness Malady Mitigator, milady. So let's see what the challenge is in round two. Excellent work. You stopped the floating scissors from creating disaster. The American crowd celebrate your heroism by gleefully firing their guns into the air, shooting down the ceremonial blimp anyway. But that's not your problem now. You realize this metal gobbledygook thing is far too dangerous for mass production and must head to the lab in which it was first developed in Kathmandu, Nepal, and shut down production for good. Also, the lab is floating. Yeah, it's made of that metal thing too. Good luck. So, attempt at the challenge first will be Jo, who, just to remind everyone, has with her a drum that makes people march in formation, Cher, and a mud hut on skis. But now Johnny will be trying to stop her, using his baseball cap that improves his baseball skills, a talking bust of George Washington, and a seesaw on wheels. Best of luck to you, Jo. Trying to get to Kathmandu. Your time starts now.
Right. Well, I'm ever so glad you told me that I need to remember the mud hut and skis, because I thought I didn't need it anymore. Turns out I did. I'm going back the way I came. So, I did think about going across the sea, but I've got skis. Do you know why I'm here? Silly waste, isn't it? So, luckily, the troops and Cher and all the drummers and all that jazz, they've made a lovely little path, and that snow is compacted, adding speed and efficacy to the general feel of the trip. So... we go right the way back up. Cher's having a little chat. She's having a little sing, keeping everybody motivated. The drummers are drumming. We're going right back through Russia. Oh, hello. We'll go through Mongolia. Also,
I put the baseball cap on Cher and she decides to have a career in baseball instead. Such is life.
Yeah, well, also such is life. Do you remember when she had that go and she pitched it on the first one and her spandex strapped and... now she can't walk straight.
Oh, poor Cher.
I know. But she can still walk. And that helped me, because now we're on through Mongolia. And she's she's leading the way with a little wonky walk going on. And she's styling it out. Granted, one of her boobs is flying free, but still.
So, okay, I replaced that bulb with a talking bust of George Washington. And both of them are just... George Washington. Also known as George Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just offending everybody. You're surrounded. What are you going to do?
Who's this? Cher and George?
Cher and George. You know, that double team.
She's been through bad partnerships before. Look at Sonny. She's got to come through this one as well. And do you know what Cher does when she has a rough time with a bloke? She runs a mile. She gets out of there. She keeps on going. She reinvents herself. She's a queen of reinvention. That's why when she goes to Mongolia, she buys some interesting furs. Keeps her warm. We keep tracking. George, who? Leave it.
He's been left.
Plus, she's the only bus going there because the right one, as I say.
Fair enough. Thank you.
That's what I thought. So, we make it through Mongolia. Obviously. I mean, of course we did. We had a sleigh with a mud hut. We're going to China. Do you know what the Chinese love?
What?
No, not dog. Oh. What they love.
That was not my first thought, but...
Your face said otherwise. Right, we're going... they love order, don't they? They love... you saw the Olympics, Beijing.
Yep,
I did.
Yep. 1 minute left.
I've got a drum. Hello. Let's start getting some order to our march right through to Kathmandu. This is what we're doing. Got anything for me there? I can take a challenge.
Never had that before. This is crazy.
Okay. Turns out now you had your chance.
No, no. I'm going to accept this challenge as my seesaw on wheels. You all accidentally fall onto it with such fury that you go back to the start.
Wow. What a spring.
I see what you did there. And your play on words was more successful. Because if you fall in on something, then it doesn't imply you can have any rage about it. And so I suggest the pressure was less than you suggested in the first place.
Possibly, because that would be very far.
So you're a liar. Thank you. We'll move on.
What a throwdown this has turned into.
Cher does not like liars. She says, believe? How can you believe in a falsehood? We can't, mate. To leave you here, so we'll keep on going.
10 seconds we're left.
Getting to bloody Kathmandu, and there's something going on there, but I didn't listen properly what was going on. Cher did, though. She's on it.
Smash hey, on. Amazing. Well done, Cher.
Couldn't do it.
Always saves the day. Okay, fantastic stuff from our first pair there in round two. But now it's time for our second pair, and attempting the challenge will be Tom, who, just to remind everyone, has with him a hot water bottle full of Vindaloo, a future version of himself from the Machine War, and a bird with man flu. But now Jenny will be trying to stop him using her karaoke machine with built-in auto-tune, a nosy neighbour, and an abundance of balloons. So, best of luck to you, Tom, trying to get to Nepal. Your time starts now.
Okay, so I get out of Lincoln, Nebraska as soon as possible because I'm in Lincoln, Nebraska. I've never been. It might be lovely. Who knows? I mean, probably not. But and I head to LA, which, as we all know, is the coolest place to have a machine war. That's all I really needed to say about that. Then we saddle up Big Bird, fly over to Japan, and on my the way, I'm like, so was Japan where the machine war started? And the future me is like, pretty racist, dude. What is just with Japan as robots? And I'm like, yeah, okay, my bad. Yeah, fair
but then,
enough.
But then as you're flying over, you fly into all my balloons, and there is an abundance of balloons.
Whatever will you do?
Me and myself and Big Bird, I've just turned it into Big Bird, having said it's not Big Bird, but either way, we peck and stab and slash and shoot our way through the balloon. It looks ridiculous, to be honest. We just about managed to get through them all, leaving only the marks of PVC on my face.
But you're also really badly tangled up in all the strings.
That's difficult.
Because there is an abundance of strings as well.
I dislocate my arm a bit, but all that serves to do is
gross.
Give future me a cool metal arm. Which is, I'm
Some
really just going
prophecy.
To town on this. It's like I'm 13 again. Okay. Then we make a quick detour to Hong Kong, where we assassinate several people who later will go on to build Skynet.
But my nosy neighbour hears about the assassinations and he's like, I think these guys should go to jail. And so he like dobs you in.
The coolest scene in a Terminator film is when they get put in jail. So we're in jail when suddenly a time vortex opens and the baby that I like helped deliver at the beginning, who's now a complete badass. Krav Maga's her way through all of the cops, and everyone is amazed that a bearded white guy on a podcast just gave a female agency. And she saves our lives, and we all hitch up Big Bird, suddenly realizing that maybe this one disaster is nothing compared to the impending doom humanity is facing. But
I'll one minute left.
And we head out to, mainland China, where we keep flying. I don't know, I need to do something with the Vindaloo.
You then stumble across a karaoke bar, and then you've got this karaoke with auto-tune. You're like, we can't miss this opportunity. And so you go in, and then you bang out some tunes, and you just can't help yourself.
I mean, I think, to be honest, we deserve a bit of a break. It's kind of been an ordeal. So, you know, I do a few Fleetwood Macs, maybe some Cher in honour of the other round. We carry on to, let's, James, give me a place.
Well, let's put you in Mongolia.
Okay, we're in Mongolia, where we go around distributing caches of weapons. I'm focusing more on the machine war, I know, but like, let's just be honest, it's more important.
But with the machines, you've typed into the sat-nav, you've tapped Kathmandu instead of Kathmandu, and now you're on the way to the wrong place.
Did I have a sat-nav? Okay, future me instinctively freaks out and smashes the technology to pieces.
And, 10 seconds left!
And we get the last remaining helicopter from the future and use it to fly up to the lab, even though I already had a flying animal, so helicopters are cooler than birds.
10 seconds! Well spent at the end there. Fantastic stuff from both pairs there in round two. But now it's time to find out the conclusion of this tale and who has won this a little bit racy. You burst into the floating lab to see some Nepalese PhD hoarding virgins, or Nepalese scientists, and force them to shut down production by chasing them around the lab with a giant pair of ceremonial scissors. Unfortunately, as a result, the metal gobbledygook holding the lab aloft has begun to fail, and you're inside a lab as it plummets back to Earth. Luckily, a conveniently placed crowd of American gun owners cushion your fall. You escape unscathed, and the Nepalese virgins and American gun owners all live happily... okay, just the Nepalese virgins then. All's fair in love and war, and it is you, our winner tonight, Tom Harrison!
Yay! I'd like to thank you on behalf of my 13-year-old self.
All's fair in love and machine war. Well, that's all we got time for on this show. I'd like to thank tonight's panellists, Johnny Sire, Joe Darcy, Jenny Collier, and Tom Harrison. I've been your host, James Cottle, and now the weather. See you next time. If you enjoyed A Little Bit Racy and would like to find out more, follow us on Twitter at A Little Bit Racy and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/A Little Bit Racy.